Amen, amen. God bless you. Good to take your seats, please. So good to be here at Hill City Church. Amen. And I see that you are a bunch of radical, fanatical, Bible-bashing, brainwashing, tongue-babbling maniacs. Amen. Good to be here this morning. I thank Pastor Joe and Pookie from Nigeria. Good to have you. should I say, good to be here. Great to be here. Well, really, really wonderful. My wife just emphasized a point that I need to bring up to you this morning. We've been married for 44 years, by the way. Yeah, that must have been an old thing. So we've been married for 44 years, been hard labor, it's been a struggle, it's been a real battle, but I tell you, it's getting better every year, I'm very, very appreciative of my wife. She's a good woman of God. She's been a great blessing and a great support. We have, as Pastor Joe mentioned, we have four children actually, one in heaven. We got one in Cambodia en route to Thailand, from Thailand, and then off to Indonesia, where they will be planting a church. Then we have a son who is in charge of Care Life in Hillsong. Hillsong, Care Life in Hillsong. He's the managing director of Hillsong Care in Victoria and Tasmania. And then I have a daughter and her husband planting a church in London as well. And so they're all over the world. Now, the thing is this, we've just come back from Livingston. And when we left Livingston, they were all at home. Within the space of 6 months, they all left Perth. They thought to themselves, well, if mom and dad have the audacity and the cheek to leave us, we will teach them a lesson that they will never forget. We're on our way. So they just left. And so we've come back after 2 years, being on the mission field in Livingston, coming back to no family at all. However, you're family, and it's good to be with the family of God. Amen. And we really, really are pleased to be here this morning. I'm always weary on how I address your pastor. I don't know whether it's Pastor Joe or Dr. Joe. So in my context, I've got pastor/doctor. So thank you for having me, Pastor Dr. Joe. I really appreciate the time here this morning. You have a wonderful church. There's a lot of life and vitality here. And I notice that you do things with a sense of excellence. Amen. It's our excellence for His glory. And that's the way that it should be. And so I really appreciate the fact that we're able to be here with you this morning. My wife and I, we've only been back a few months from Africa. I'm certainly missing Africa, I can tell you. I received a letter from my daughter instructing me that I had to come back from Africa. When I received the email, I knew what it was all about. And so I didn't read it because I knew what she was going to say. And I was coming back from the rural areas, about 300 kilometers from Livingston. By the way, 300 kilometers from Livingston, there are still unreached people, unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you believe it? You just can't get into some of these areas. And so I had this email but hadn't read it. And I knew what she was going to say. And so as I'm driving back from these rural areas and I'm driving past all the huts and the goats and the cows and, you know, all the wildlife and all the locals on the side of the road, tears were just streaming down my face. I just didn't want to leave Africa. And I knew that, you know, my daughter wanted me back home and what have you. So we had to make the final decision and we're back in Perth. But certainly have no intention of retiring at all. In fact, we are refiring, and I am so passionate, so excited about the future. You know, old age is like an old jumbo jet. A young Zambian pastor said to me, he said, old age is like a jumbo jet. The further you go down the runway, the faster you go. And you know, I've done this much runway, and I've only got this much runway left. And so with the remaining runway that I have left, it all stops out for Jesus. There's no holding back. There are souls to be saved, disciples to be established, churches to be planted, and the kingdom of God needs to be advancing. And so with the life that I have, I really want to make a difference for Jesus. With the life that we have, we want to see the kingdom of God advancing. Amen. For His great glory. So retirement is the furthest thing from my mind. If you have your Bibles open, can you turn with me please to Isaiah chapter 43, reading from verses 1. And it's so good that we're in tune with what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in this great church. And I'll read from verse 18. Do not remember the former things, says the Lord, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road for you in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How many of you know that before you come into a new year, you have established your New Year's resolutions? And I'm sure most of you here today have a New Year's resolution. I think that Judy and I, every year, we have a New Year's resolution. The resolution being for us is to lose weight, you know, to declare war on the calories. And so we plan our schedules out and we plan our diet, and we're absolutely, absolutely determined that we're going to declare war on the calories. And how many of you know that you go well for week one, week two, week three, and then all of a sudden the resolutions fade like steam from a kettle, and they just disappear, and before you know it, you're back to the same old, same old. You know, friends, I really believe that what we need at the beginning of the year is a word from God. And I really feel that God has a word for you this morning. It's certainly a word for me. And you know, you can't preach unless you've experienced what you're preaching. And I want to tell you, my wife and I, we've experienced an incredible miracle over the past few months. And we want to share with you from the scriptures this morning on how God has really brought us to a place of contentment in Him, of really breaking through. This is a new beginning for my wife and I, and as I go through this message this morning, I'm hoping that you will grasp it, and it will be a source of encouragement to you. You know, when the children of Israel received this word from the Lord, they were in captivity. They had disobeyed God. They had turned their backs upon God. The Bible says that every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. And as a direct result of their disobedience, their waywardness, the Babylonians were raised up and took them into captivity for a period of time. And so when all hope had gone and they thought that, you know, there was no hope whatsoever, God gave to them a word. And God said to the children of Israel, and this is a grace word. This is something that they needed because they had felt that they were beyond the reach of, they felt that they were beyond what was help. They thought that they were beyond grace. They thought that they were beyond help, that God had forgotten them altogether. Then the word of the Lord comes. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Even now I shall do a new thing, and even now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. You know, oftentimes we talk about wilderness. And when we think about wilderness, we think of pain, suffering, disappointment, hardships, trials, and tribulations. And there isn't a person here today that hasn't gone through a wilderness experience. If you be a Christian, you know what we're talking about when we talk about wilderness experiences. Because every one of us have gone through wilderness experiences. And so we often think of wilderness as hardships, as pain, as suffering. But I want to tell you, friends, that when you read the Word of God, when you read about wilderness, it's in the context that God is bringing you into something new. That God is preparing you for the future. That God is doing a work in your life. And so it's not just in the context of hardship. It's in the context of blessing, of preparation. That God is preparing you for a new season in your life. And so basically what I'm saying this morning is simply this. Do not despise your wilderness experiences, because God is working things out of you in order to put things into you that will take you to a new level. Amen. And I really believe that this year, 2020, can be one of the most dynamic, one of the most exciting, one of the most fruitful, one of the most prosperous years of your entire life. I don't know about you, but my wife and I, oh, we are believing for the very, very best. You know, we've been through a wilderness experience, and because we've been through a wilderness experience, we have every confidence that God now is at work preparing for us a new season, a new work. And so we don't look as wildernesses as a bad, bad experience, but something that we need to embrace with the knowledge and the understanding that God is about to break through and do a new work in our lives. Amen. I mean, you look at the life of Moses. Where was Moses when he was, you know, looking after his father's sheep? He was out there in the wilderness. And it was whilst he was out in the wilderness, 40 years, I might tell you, 40 years, nothing but sheep, sheep, and more sheep, until he had that incredible encounter with God, an encounter that changed the whole course of history. And as a direct result of that wonderful encounter with God, that burning bush experience, Moses was taken into a new dimension and was able to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt and eventually into the promised land. A journey that should have taken 40 days, but unfortunately took 40 years. But nevertheless, he had an encounter with God, and it happened in the wilderness. And then I think of Elijah. When you think of Elijah, you think of earthquake, storm, and fire. But it was out there in the wilderness that God gave to him direction. It was out in the wilderness that God had provided for him, that God was preparing him for a new season in life. And then, of course, we think of none other than Ezekiel. Ezekiel was taken to the wilderness, to a valley of dried bones. Myriads and myriads and multitudes of dried, brittle, white bones covered the whole valley, full of these brittle bones. And then God said to Ezekiel, prophesy, prophesy to these bones. And as he was prophesying, an army emerged from the valley. But where did it happen? It all took place in the wilderness. And then, of course, we think of none other than John the Baptist, who baptized people in the River Jordan. Where was the River Jordan? In the wilderness. And it was there that John the Baptist says, prepare ye the way of the Lord in the wilderness. And then we think of Jesus. After Jesus was baptized in the water, where did he go? For 40 days, he went into the wilderness. And so you can understand then, friends, that prior to a great move of God, prior to a new season in your life, we all have to go through a wilderness. You will never experience a deliverance. You will never experience a blessing. You will never experience the ways of God unless you go through a wilderness experience. Perhaps even now, you may feel as though you're going through a wilderness experience. Well, the good news for you is this. The Bible says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Amen. 2020 is going to be an amazing year. 2020 is going to be a dynamic year. You've got to speak it. You've got to believe it. You've got to confess it. That 2020 is going to be your year of breakthrough. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I, says the Lord, am doing a new thing. And I want to tell you that for the children of Israel, that's something that they needed to hear. And all they could do was think about what used to be. By the rivers of Babylon, where we first met, there we remember Zion. Amen. All they could do was sing about the old days. All they could do was sing about the good old things back in Zion. Now they were in captivity. But God said, hey, be of good encouragement. Be stirred up. I'm going to do a new thing. You may feel you are without hope. You may feel as though you cannot be redeemed. But the Lord says, I am going to do a new thing. Amen. Amen. And you know, friends, I want you to take encouragement this morning. Because God is going to do a new thing in your life and in this church. So point number one, God's going to make a way for you in the wilderness. Secondly, God's unlimited potential is far greater than our ability to see. I'll say that again. God's unlimited potential to bring change and transformation into our lives is far greater than our unlimited ability to see. In other words, when we're going through... Okay, I'm going to say this again because the commander-in-chief of this relationship, Colonel Judy Humberstone, has corrected me once again. I will say it again. Now, all ears, please. God's unlimited ability to bring change and transformation is far greater than our limited ability to see. Amen. In other words, when you're going through a wilderness experience, you feel at times as though you've hit a brick wall. At times you feel as though you've come to a cul-de-sac and there's no way out. At times you feel as though you are in a dark tunnel and there's no light towards the end of the tunnel. All you're seeing is difficulty, problems, hurt, pain, and suffering. You don't see an end to this terrible situation and this experience that you're in. And that's true. When in a wilderness experience, you don't think rationally. And if you're not going through a wilderness, you probably don't understand what I'm saying. I have just come out of a wilderness experience, and so I speak not just from things I've read in a book or sermons I've heard, but something that I've experienced in recent days. And when going through this terrible situation, I'm telling you, I couldn't find a way out. All I wanted to do was to give up ministry, give up my family, and run. Because I wasn't thinking rationally. I wasn't thinking sensibly. I was limited in my outlook. I was limited in my thinking. You see, the Word of God says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. And then the Bible goes on to say, even now it springs forth. Even now it springs forth. Did you hear what I said? Even now it springs forth. What do I mean by that? Simple. Right in your wilderness experience, God is there and is even going on before you. Amen. You know, there's a doctrine that we hardly ever hear preached. In fact, many of you have never heard it but before. It's called No, it's not predestination. It's something grace. What is it? Oh my Lord, I've just had a mental break. This is why I need to read notes. Now, who is a theologian? It's Oh, please help me get this. I can't remember it. I only learned it this morning before I came here. I thought, geez, what a great point. Come on. Anybody else? Prevenient. Everyone say prevenient. Everyone say prevenient. How many of you have been a Christian in many, many, many years? How many of you have ever heard of that? Shame on you. And shame on me. I've never heard of it. But it is an archaic word. It's an old archaic word. Prevenient. Prevenient. It's called prevenient grace. It's an old archaic word, and it simply means goes before you. So when you say when we think of it's always something that's gone before you, right? Event, something that's going to happen before the event. Prevenient. Say, for example, you get two runners. They start off at the line, bang, and they launch out and get to the running line, and the one overtakes the other. He got to his position before the other. He nullified the other's success. Prevenient. He got to where he was going before the other. And do you know, friends, this is exactly what God has done for us. He has dealt each and every one of us prevenient grace. In other words, whatever difficulty, whatever situation you may find yourself in, God has gone before you. He's prepared the way for you. This is prevenient grace. There isn't a hardship. There isn't a pain. There isn't a situation that you have that you're going through that God hasn't been there. He's going there before you. He is the way maker. He is the pioneer. He is the breakthrough agent. He is the one that goes before you. And so you may feel as though you're going through a terrible wilderness experience, but God, in His great mercy, is gone before you. He's going before you. He is shedding some prevenient, everyone say it, prevenient grace. Good sermon, bro. You want to get hold of this one. It's a clincher. I've only heard about it this last week, and I thought, wow, that is revelationary stuff. I said, I've got to preach on that sometime. Because this is precisely what God does for us. You know, not only is He a God of great grace, but it's prevenient grace. He goes before us. And then it goes on, and the Word of God says, even now it springs forth. Even now there's prevenient grace. Even now. Even now. But then He goes on to say, do you not perceive it? Do you not understand what I'm saying, stupid? I'm not saying you stupid. But what He's saying is, do you not perceive it? Can't you understand? Are you blind? Are you stupid? Right now, God is doing. That word perceive means to discern, to understand. It means to distinguish. And so when you word to say, when you use the word to perceive, it means, do you understand what I'm saying? Are you sure? Are you discerning what I'm saying? Are you perceiving what I'm saying? It means to perceive, to understand. And it's in the understanding that liberates you. It's in the understanding that sets you free from all anxiety. Amen. You know, we can say it, but do we ever experience it? Let me just tell you an experience Judy and I have just been through. I'm going to hang out a bit of my dirty washing. Judy, whilst we were in Africa, she had a real meltdown. I've got to say that I'm largely to blame in many respects. I'm a gung-ho evangelist, and I've always been gung-ho in my approach to mission, my passion for souls. And my poor wife has been always left in the wake. She reached a point in her life where she couldn't keep up with me. And she really nearly had a bad mental breakdown, emotional breakdown. So I took her to England and let her stay with my daughter. And she had one of these meltdowns again. I thought, geez, I'm not sticking around. I'm jumping in an airplane. I'm going back to Africa. So we did that. I went back to Africa and, you know, sorted out issues that need to be sorted out there. You know, sorted out issues that I was there. And so now I come back to Australia with my wife still in England. And I'm telling you, I had sorted everything out in Livingston on my own without the help of my wife. And then I flew back to Australia. And the second day being back in Australia, I went to my house that we had rented out for 2 years. And the tenants that had been in this house had desecrated the house. It was shocking. There was cat's urine all over the house. Dog's hair. It was a shocking, despicable. I was furious, to say the least. All on my own, I had to sort this out. With a broken back. And I'm holding resentment and anger towards my wife. Oh, I'm thinking all sorts of things. Whoa. I couldn't see the light towards the end of the tunnel in this relationship. Not only that, after we had spent 2 weeks in cleaning the house, I start to move things back into the house, my televisions and what furniture was unscathed from these tenants. I moved it back. Then I went to go and see my mother who was suffering in hospital. I jumped off the airplane from Livingston and went straight to the hospital to see my mother, all on my own. It's bad. So now, while I'm visiting my mother, thieves broke into my house. And they just went through my house like a dose of salt. Phew! And they just, they took all the fittings. They took my TVs. They took everything that they could possibly carry. And I had to come back to this. And anyway, long story short, the insurance agent came the next morning. And I'm thinking I'll probably get about $3,000 and rah, rah, rah. So I just explained to him my whole story. I said, well, my wife has been broken up in Zambia and, you know, he was just about in tears. I said to him, look, mate, don't worry about a thing. We'll sort it all. We'll sort it out for you. We'll sort it all out. Anyway, now you've got to imagine, I'm an emotional wreck. I've got to tell you, my wife wrote me a letter. You could have lined me up against a wall and shot me with a machine gun. I'm telling you, it was a letter that wasn't very encouraging. But nevertheless, she shared a few home truths that wounded my poor spirit. And I felt lower than a snake's belly, I've got to tell you. I've never felt any lower in my life before. I mean, I've been through some bad situations, but this was the end. Now I'm thinking, Jesus, there's got to be a way out of this now. I'm prepared to leave, prepared to go. So anyway, that night, I went to bed. And while I'm in bed, and you know, I'm telling you, I'm not playing. I was bad. I was in a bad state. And as I'm laying on my bed, I really felt the presence of God come into the room. I'm not saying I fell to the floor and I wept tears of remorse and repentance, but I just felt the peace of God come into my heart. And God spoke this word into my life. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. Even now, son, it's breaking forth. Even now, in the situation with the tenants, the situation with your break-in, the situation with your wife, the situation that you are confronted, no employment, nothing, the situation as it is right now, God says, He says, even now, it springs forth. Then He says, do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Don't you understand? And for the first time, and I've got to tell you, I've preached on this message hundreds of times. I've got to tell you, I know this word. I know it. But for the first time, it wasn't just a word. For the first time, it wasn't just words printed in a book. For the first time, it wasn't just a great sermon to listen to. For the first time, this meant something so enlightening, so powerful, so revolutionary, that it changed my attitude from the inside out. I'm telling you, I got off that bed that night a completely changed, completely transformed person by the power of God's Spirit. And I tell you something now. I had to get hold of my wife. She says, I can't believe it. Don't tell me. You've got to go to counseling. I said, no, doll. I've got the best counselor in the world. His name is Wonderful, Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. No, I've heard that before. No, doll. Listen to me. This is true. God spoke to me tonight. And things are going to be a whole lot different. He said, remember not the former things. You've got to do away with that rotten letter you sent me. Anyway, long story short. You know, from that moment on, the favor of God just came upon us. Amen. Insurance paid for all the destructive things that the tenants had done in the house. I've got new carpets. I've got new furniture. I've got a new car. You know, the favor of God was just upon the whole thing. And you know, I'm telling you, from that very, very point in time, we've experienced nothing but incredible breakthrough. Now, I'm even unemployed at the moment. I'm looking for direction and, you know, the way that the Lord would lead us. I've come back from Africa prematurely, and now I'm seeking direction for the next season in our life. Come out of this terrible wilderness, but now experiencing the favor of God on our lives. Amen. You see, God will make a way for you in the wilderness. And having that understanding that even now it springs forth, having that understanding, having perceived, having understood, having distinguished, has totally set me free from everything. I'm telling you, my wife and I, 44 years of marriage, who would have ever believed we would have gone through what we had gone through in the last 6 months? Right. But we're the happiest we've ever been. Is that right? It's like honeymoon. Whoever believed you could have a honeymoon after 44 years of marriage? Every time I look at her, I see stars in my eyes. When I look into her eyes, I see twinkling stars. And I think to myself, is it shiny contact lenses? Or love? Amen. So what I'm saying to you is this. I want you to understand this, my friends. You're going through a wilderness experience. If not, you will do. If not, you already have. But you need to understand that God's going to make a way for you in the wilderness. Even now, it's springing forth. Even right now. Right now. I'm so excited about our future, brother. I'm telling you. Because I know that God's not finished with this old Tucker, this old man. You know, I might be a medulla, an old man. But I tell you, the fire of God is burning brighter and higher with greater intensity than ever before. Amen. I'm telling you, I am so excited about what God has for us in the future. I'm down that runway and I'm gathering some huge speed, I'm telling you. Not ready to take off just yet because we still want to finish the runway. Amen. And I feel the same for many of you. Never feel as though you've reached the use-by date and that God's finished with you. Because God's not finished with any of you at all. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. Amen. So, point number one, God's going to make a way for you in the wilderness. Point number two, that God's unlimited ability or unlimited potential is far greater than our limited potential or ability to see. In other words, God can see the whole picture. Amen. He knows us, has our best interest at heart. And finally, and I come to a close. Thirdly, revival or renewal comes after forgetting. The Bible says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Remember not the former things. In other words, you can't go forward continually looking in the rearview mirror. How many of you know that you're trying to advance, but you're continually spending your time, your effort, your energy looking into the rearview mirror of the past? And if you continually do that, it brings nothing but guilt and condemnation into your life. And it can cause huge problems. You've got to learn to forgive, and you've got to learn to forget. You can't go forward looking in the rearview mirror. I remember as a young man going to work before I was married. I saw this beautiful looking young lady on the road, on the pavement as I was going to work as a 19-year-old young man. And I took my eyes off the road and I just watched her all the way. Well, I thought, whoa, she was a nice looking girl, I'm telling you. But then as I'm looking at her, I didn't realize that the car in front of me had stopped. Boom! Is that better? Okay, so you see, the enemy will try and bring us into guilt and condemnation. He is the accuser of the brethren. He will try and remind you of your failures. He will try and remind you of your past. He will tell you that you will never amount to anything in life. He is the accuser. He comes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, friends, there is a difference between guilt. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. The devil will condemn, but the Spirit of God will convict of righteousness, peace, and judgment. And too often, people don't know how to distinguish between condemnation and conviction. And friends, when we come to that place and we realize the convicting influence of the Spirit of God upon our lives, we'll never experience complete and total freedom and liberty. We need to understand that there is a point where we're not going to allow ourselves to be condemned, but to allow the Spirit of God to bring change and transformation in our lives as we come under the influence of His convicting power. Amen. Because he is the one that convicts of righteousness, peace, and joy. You see, with my wife, I could have felt so guilty and condemned, you know, by this wicked letter that she sent me. She had to do it because she had to get through the hard skull. You know, you got to get the nobkeri. You know nobkeri? You know nobkeri? It's a stick with a big thing root on. You know those ones? In Africa, we have them. We call them nobkeri. Anybody know nobkeri? Yeah. You know nobkeri. Yeah. All the Africans, nobkeri. And sometimes we need a stick over the head, a nobkeri over the head. And when I looked at that, there's two ways I could have looked at this. I could have read this letter and felt totally condemned. I think, oh, gee, she's right. Or I could have allowed the Spirit of God to convict and to bring the necessary changes to restore this relationship and restore our ministry. And so I allowed the Spirit of the Lord to speak into my heart. And I wrote back to my wife. I did. I wasn't mean about the letter at all, was I? Never. Was I? Just checking. Just to make sure that things are fairly well tuned and we're still moving in the right direction. And so anyway, you see, friends, we've got to come under the convicting power and the convicting influence of the Holy Spirit. If we don't, we become a slave to the devil. In closing, I want to tell you a little story. A story of a young man. His name was John and his sister was Janet. And anyway, John and Janet were visiting their grandma on the grandma and grandpa's farm. And whilst they were on the farm, Granny gave Johnny a catapult. What do you call them here? Slingshot. Slingshot. Gave him a slingshot. And old Johnny, he was so happy with his new slingshot. He went out onto the farm, got himself some stones, and pew, pew, he was shooting. And as he was shooting, he saw Grandma's favorite duck. And he says, geez, I wonder if I can just at least hit it. And didn't think that he'd ever kill it. So he took aim. Boom! You wouldn't believe it. That stone hit Grandma's duck right in the head. And that duck died instantly. Punk whack. Dead. Oh, he felt terrible. He's thinking to himself, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? I've killed Grandma's duck. And he turned around and Janet was 10 meters away from him. He was trying to hide the duck. And Johnny turned around to Janet and said, oh, Janet, please, don't tell Grandma. She's going to kill me. Oh, please, Janet. Oh, Johnny, don't worry. It's my secret and your secret. We'll keep it to ourselves. Oh, thanks, Janet. You're such a great sister. Oh, I love you so much. Anyway, that night, they were at the table, and Grandma asked Janet to wash the dishes. And Janet says, oh, Grandma, no, I don't feel like it tonight. Oh, no, Grandma, Johnny said that he will wash the dishes. Won't you, Johnny? And then Janet whispered in his ears, don't forget the duck. And so Johnny landed up washing the dishes. The next day, Grandpa said, come, Johnny, we're going fishing. Janet didn't think that was a good idea. But Granny said, no, I want one of you to stay behind and help clean the house. And Janet says to Grandpa, oh, Grandpa, John said that he will stay home and wash and help clean the house with Grandma. She went up to Johnny, remember the duck. And so it just carried on like this all the time. He had become a slave to Janet, doing everything at Janet's beck and call. Finally, he couldn't take it anymore. He felt bad. He really felt so condemned. He felt so guilty. He went to Grandma and he says, oh, Grandma, I've got something to tell you, Grandma. You notice that you haven't seen your favorite duck around? Yes, Johnny. Grandma, I killed your duck. Oh, Johnny, I saw the whole thing from the kitchen window when I was washing the dishes. I saw exactly what happened. I saw you trying to hide the duck. I saw you and Janet in conversation. I thought I'd just leave it alone for a while to see how long you would become a slave to your sister. And you know, unfortunately, people, so many of us live under guilt and condemnation. And we become a slave to the devil. He drills us. He reminds us. He continually emphasizes our weaknesses, our faults, and our failures, and our sin. And you're at his beck and call, just winding you down. Do you know the Bible says that we can be liberated from condemnation? We can be liberated from guilt. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, it says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's a clean slate, washed, cleansed, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took upon himself all our sin and continually does it. And then in Philippians, it says, Paul the Apostle says, I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, forgetting those things that are behind me and pressing towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Forgetting all those things that are behind and pressing towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, if we hadn't have really gone to God in our situation, there is no doubt that we would be tracking and navigating a course of divorce and separation. And it would have split our family, completely split the family. Would have ruined a ministry of 45 years. Destroyed. Because I allowed Satan to bring upon me guilt and condemnation. And I couldn't rectify the situation. But because we came to God, and because of prevenient grace, because God extended His mercy and His grace towards us, we have been liberated, totally set free in a new reunion and flourishing in the presence and the blessing and the favor and the abundance of God. Amen. Amen. Come on. That's for me. I don't expect you to all get excited about my experience. What about your experience? Amen. Don't allow yourself to become a slave to the devil. Amen. You know, this is a new day. God is doing something new in your lives. I believe God is doing something new and remarkable and exciting in this church. Don't despise these early days, because God is about to break through. Amen. Jesus, I've got so much more to say. I've got so much more to share. I don't know what more I can say other than keep going. Just really understand that God is going before you, and He is going to make a way that no one else can make for you. Prevenient grace. By the way, I will say this. You know, the children of Israel felt that God had totally forsaken them, that God would never restore them. That's why they sang that song by the rivers of Babylon. Anyone ever know that song? One of my favorite songs. It's sung by Boney M. Love it. Sung by Boney M. It was all about them in captivity and remembering what they had left behind. They didn't believe that there was any chance of any kind of redemption. They didn't believe that there would be any kind of hope for them. And I wonder how many people are living in our churches today, living as a Christian, believing that there is no hope for them, or even people that have left the church and so darkened by condemnation and guilt, they cannot bear the thought of ever stepping inside a church again because they feel so bad on the inside and that God will never forgive them. Verse 25 of that chapter says, Even I, remember your sin no more. Even I. Well, look, it says there, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will never remember your sins. This is transforming grace. Not only do we have prevenient grace, but we have the merciful grace of God reaching down and forgiving us, cleansing us, taking our sin, our failure, upon Himself, taking it to the cross, liberating and setting us free. Amen. May I encourage every one of you today, look at this new year, this new season, with an expectation, with a sense of expectancy and excitement that God is going to do a new thing in your life. Can you believe that? I mean, put a look on your face. Pastor, I believe that. I believe it. How many of you believe it? Can't believe. I believe. Amen. So Judy and I, you know, we're so excited. We are so excited for 2020. I'm not even thinking about retirement. Retirement is the furthest thing from my mind. I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ like I have never preached it before. I want to see the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to come with beautiful, enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, with God confirming His Word with signs, miracles, and wonders. Do you know there have been three major revivals in the past? There has been the healing revival in the 1950s and the 60s, Oral Roberts and all of those guys. Then there's been the faith revival with those faith men, you know, Copeland. And then there has been the revival of the charismatic movement when many of the mainstream churches had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. But then we have another revival that's about to be unleashed. That's going to break through in the nations of the world. It's a breakthrough of revival of signs, miracles, and wonders. There's going to be an impartation of the gifts of the Spirit like never before. Power evangelism. And with that I say, amen. May the Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, bless you. May His countenance shine upon you. May you experience health and the goodness and the blessing and the favor of God upon your life. May you experience healing upon your whole family. May you prosper in all your ways, in your going in and your going out, wherever you may be, at the workplace, at home, on the sports field. May the blessing and the abundance of God be upon you all, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's mighty people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor.